Father's Day. The most celebrated holiday ever. No, not really. Probably one of the least. But we are thankful that we have a father that we can go to. If you didn't, you know, if you lost your dad, if you didn't have one, you didn't know him, what have you, you'll have a heavenly father. So you don't ever have to be down and out. If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Daniel. Today I'm talking about refusing to compromise. And if there's one thing that fathers need in their life today, or families need, they need fathers, they need dads, husbands in a household that will not compromise. Now, we all may miss it at times and what have you. And the scripture says that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets back up again. So have you ever been in that position where, I just don't know, I've already compromised. Listen, you're not the only one. Get on up. Get on up. Time to rise up. Because God needs men in these last days that are going to be more submitted to him than submitted to this world. It says here, during the year, the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. See, this was like about the, this is the first, the one of three sieges that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And Daniel and his friend was a part of it. And his three other friends. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back into the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only, what, strong, healthy, and good-looking young man. You know, I would qualify for that. That's my... I'm just playing. But here's the thing. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and are gifted with knowledge and good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. See, this is what the enemy loves to do with the children of God and with people out there in the world. They love to get the ones that they know that has a great influence on other people, or that can be a great influence on the other people. And they'll train them up in their ways in order to win the world to them, to serve them. They'll use certain vessels. These young men were teenagers, and they were brought into the land. It wasn't just anyone. It was the good-looking ones, the healthy ones, the ones that were quick to learn. There were good studies. I mean, they were the best of the best. And that's the way the enemy works. He wants the best of the best. This is one of the reasons why you're a target for him, because God has chosen these lowly things of this world. 1 Corinthians 1. It says, instead, God chose the world, chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. See, the world may have rejected you, but God didn't. Now he's brought you into his kingdom. You have that relationship with him, and now the enemy wants you. They rejected you, now they want you. But God has brought you into his kingdom to shame those who are wise. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a janitor. You can shame the wise because of the wisdom of God that operates in your life. In the word. God chose those things that the world considers foolish. Yeah, but Pastor Tim, you don't know us. I may not be the best one ever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where God is leading you, where the enemy wants to lead you. It matters where God leads you. See, God hates the proud. He opposes the proud. He has a proud look, sorry. Humility is the key in living this life for Jesus. And we have to live with humility. And people who out in this world, I mean, they become so prideful in what they do and how they're doing it that they really don't understand. They don't know it. That all that stuff, those giftings came from him. So when we begin to live our lives with humility, the Lord continues to show these things and these open up these doors in our lives continually. You don't have to stoop down to the level of what other people are doing at all. You don't ever have to stoop down. You have to make sure that you refuse to compromise in those areas. You have to refuse to compromise. Daniel, at one point in time, it talks about how he resolved in his heart, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. They were going to give him some of the food from the king's court, from the king's palace. I'm talking about big old fat briskets, steak, potatoes, all these other things. He says, no, 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 we're not going to do that. I purpose in my heart. We resolved not to defile ourselves with this stuff. And there's going to be some times when the Lord takes you into certain places and certain levels that he's getting ready to get you, and he needs you to change your diet up. He wants you to last for a long time. There are some seasons where he wants me to cut out Pepsi. Hard. No, seriously, that is hard. No, it's not hard. But he's taking you to another place because there's another level that you're going to have to be to get to. New levels will always require new devils. So he needs you prepared to be able to go into those places that he has sent you so that you can reign for him, not for ourselves. What's the next scripture? So we got to make sure that we don't allow people to come at us. But you don't know, they don't want to sit at my table, Pastor Tim. They don't want to sit at my table. Listen, I don't know of anyone. I don't think I've ever gone through life and said and complained about somebody not sitting at my table. If you don't want to sit at my table, I'm okay with that. That's called being a grown-up. While they're isolating themselves, let them isolate. Maybe the Lord is speaking to them. Maybe they know that's a trap. They get to the place to where God wants to take them to another level. And see, when all these people are coming against you in every which way, you don't have to break down and cry. You don't have to get upset. Think about this. If the enemy is so concerned with you that you are causing so much trouble and for the kingdom of God in a good way, he has to go out and get other demons in order to stop you. Think about it. All these people are coming against me, Pastor Tim. That's okay. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. You're doing the right thing. You're on the right track. You don't ever allow someone to get into that place to where they run you off because the wicked run away. What they're saying might be true, but yet, here's the thing. What God says about you is even truer. What God says about you is even better. Paul said he wronged no man. Really, Paul? We know what you did back there. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as a lion. They won't sit at my table. They're isolating themselves. There's just some tables I refuse to sit at. That's my choice, because I choose peace over drama. I choose God over chaos. But then sometimes God wants me to sit at that table. But I don't like sitting at the ones that it almost seems like somebody's trying to sell you a timeshare. They're always going off of a script. Are you serious? Can we just fellowship? Can we just wing it? Can we just go by the Spirit? I don't want to have to go off of no script. Why? The reason why they're going off of a script is because they're meddling all up in your business. These are carefully crafted plans that the enemy wants to do to you. They want to get you to say something. They want to get you to falter on. They want to get you to just accidentally talk about something. They're trying to meddle all up in your business. And I talked about this a couple times. Mind your own business. We got to learn to mind our own business. Mind his business. If the Lord is sending you, that's a great thing. But if he's not, we got to learn to mind our own. See, that reminds me of a story. There was a man that was walking down the street, and he just heard a lot of cheers going on, and he didn't know because he was a ways off. And as he just kept walking, I mean, he's just getting curious. Why are they yelling? And as he got a little closer, he started listening. He started hearing people shouting numbers. 8! Walking a little more. 9! Yeah, man, that's right. They're giving high fives. 10! Shouting. He turns around the corner and he realizes there's a big old fence there. Big old fence. But he can't see. It's still off a distance, but he's walking there. 11! Yeah! Keeps walking, keeps walking. 12! What is going on? Now curiosity's got him. And then he gets up to that fence and he's trying to jump over to look to see what's on the other side of that fence. He can't do it. It's too high for him. So he just is trying to look and stuff and look through the cracks and everything else. And he sees two holes right there. Oh, yeah. Takes off his glasses. Looks through. And two fingers come up. Boom. 13! The moral of the story is, mind your own business. And an enemy loves nothing more than to try to stir up conflict in your life. Loves nothing more than to get on you. I said, women, I want you to say it in a good way. It doesn't have to be in an arrogant way. It doesn't have to be in a demeaning way. But when your husband starts trying to get in other people's business, tell him to man up. And what I mean by man up is submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. In Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to read this. It's kind of long. It says, Darius the Mede, this is after King Nebuchadnezzar had passed away, but the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two other as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel was promoted because of the dream that he had interpreted. Not just a dream, he had to tell the king his dream and interpret it. And God gave him that vision to be able to interpret those things. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers because of Daniel's great ability. The king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for what? Fault. They couldn't mind their own business. In the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful. Always responsible and completely trustworthy. They couldn't find fault in him. They couldn't find fault in Jesus. So they had to make it up. Had to come up with false witnesses. So they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel would be in connection with the rules of his religion, the law of God. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius." We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced, giving order that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of liars. People, the enemy will always want to try and scheme in order to hurt you. They will always try to come up with some well-crafted plan in order to get you off, to find fault in you in every which way. And even if they do, you don't ever back down and you don't run away. Next verse. And now your majesty issued a sign, this law, so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed off on it. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down, as usual, in his upstairs room with his windows closed. He wasn't ashamed. You can't pray to anyone but King Darius. What? This is a teenager. You better do what we tell you, teens, or they were going to be thrown into a lion's den. If you don't do what we tell you, we're going to put all your business out on social media. If you don't do what we tell you, we're going to talk about you in every which way, in every circle that we know. If you don't do what we tell you. If you don't do what we tell you, we're going to definitely get you out of that position. We're going to get you fired. We're going to get all these other ministers to come against you. If you don't do what we tell you, you got to refuse to compromise. Daniel went upstairs, opened the windows. He wasn't hiding for no one. He wasn't ashamed of his God. And he began praying. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. He says, then the officials went together to Daniel's house and what? And found him praying, asking God for help. So they went straight to the what? To the king. They went over him. Try to get him in trouble. Some people will try to go over your head in order to get you in trouble. And reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? He said, yes, I know that. I signed it. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king that the man Daniel, one of the men that you have set over the prophets, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you. They set him up. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Now, what are you going to do if people come at you like that? They try to get on you. And I know we don't live in Babylonia. Well, this kind of is Babylonia, but we do have laws against murder. It's wrong. It's a shame that you have to make a law. You should just know that. But we don't get persecuted like everyone else. We don't have that type of a law, but there will be a day where they're going to try and shut you up, but they're going to try to do it as slick as they want to do it. They're going to try to creep in and try to tell you, you can't preach in the name of Jesus. You can't pray in the name of Jesus. What you going to do? If we catch you, you're going to be doing prison time. And your answer to that is, looks like I'm starting a prison ministry. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know what according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. Man, they were really, they painted this king in a corner. And he had to stick to what he had said. So we all know what happened. Daniel ended up going into the lion's den. Go down at verse 20. Please. Daniel spent the night. The angel of the Lord shut him up. He says, when he got there, this is King Darius, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue from the lions? Daniel answered, long live the king. Long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. See, that's what happens. You got to stay true to God. If you just tell the truth, I can't tell you how many times that the Lord has gotten me out of jams just because I will tell the truth. Even though other people will lie, I will tell the truth. I'm not backing off of that. Some people don't like it. I don't give a rip. I tried the lying game. Got my behind whooped a lot of times by my parents because they knew when I was lying. I stutter, sweating all over the place. They knew that. He says, the king was overjoyed in order that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found in him, on him, for he had trusted in his God. He says, then the king gave orders to arrest the man who had maliciously accused Daniel. See, God will fight for you. He had them thrown into the lion's den along with who? Their wives and children. That's the same way when it comes to unforgiveness. They didn't throw the man who was still, who owed forgiveness to that person, just him. It was him and his family. You open up the door. That's why women, tell your man, man up. Man up. You're opening up the door. Man up. Submit yourself to God. Be submitted to God. That is one of the best things that you can do. Not just have a relationship with Jesus, but be submitted to our Heavenly Father because it opens up the door. It gives the enemy an inroad into our lives. Man, we got to man up. We got to stay submitted to God. Because if we're not submitted to God, we make ourselves enemies of God. Will God still love you? Probably, yeah. He will. Just like Jesus loved Judas up to the very end. He'll love you. But it's detrimental to your family. And you're seeing families being broken all the time. So many broken families, even within the church, broken families. Why? We need men that are submitted to God. And if we're going to submit ourselves one to another, you're going to have to submit to God. You're going to have to submit to God. You're going to have to submit to God. Because I ain't submitting to a man that's not submitted to God. Because then you're an enemy of God. How do you know you're an enemy? When your husband starts scheming, starts plotting, starts planning in order to come against other people, they make themselves an enemy of God. That's in James 4. You make yourself an enemy of God. That's why it says in James 4, 7, therefore, submit yourself to God and resist who? The devil. The devil gets you to the place to where you want to cause harm to other people. The devil is the one, when you don't resist the devil, it'll get you to the place to where you start plotting revenge. Submit yourself to God and resist him. We need men, bold men, that's going to stand up, that's going to be bold, that's going to be courageous, that's going to be submitted to our Heavenly Father on a daily basis. I've dealt with some stuff in my life or what have you. And I forgave the man. I believe it was a relationship that the Lord told me to sever because the Lord had shown me his heart. And that man wants to destroy my life. And I ain't going to let him. And he's unrepentant. Still unrepentant. If you're unrepentant, you will still do the things you want to do. That's why I won't sit at his table. I'll walk in love with him. I wish him the best. Honestly, I hope his marriage is great. I hope his ministry is good. I hope he succeeds in life. But when you're covetous, you make yourself an enemy of God. James 4:1 says this. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? It doesn't come from God. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to do what? To get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You're taking something that God never gave you. You're taking something that God has. You're trying to take a promotion away that God has given to someone else. You're trying to take their influence that God has given them. You're trying to take their money that God has given them. You're trying to take their woman that God has given them. You're scheming. You're planning. You're jealous. Jealousy would get you doing some crazy stuff. Pharisees were jealous. The governors of back in Daniel's day were jealous. They're going to be jealous of the anointing on your life. He says, yet you don't have what you ask because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all what? Wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you what? An enemy of God. I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Acting like that, even though God loves us, makes us an enemy of God. It makes us a friend of the world. What do you think the scripture mean when they say that the spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy? But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the what? The proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God and resist who? The devil. When you resist the devil, when you humble yourself before the Lord, you keep yourself from being a friend of the world and you're a friend of God. I'd rather be a friend of God than a friend of the devil or a friend of the world. And we need men that's going to stand up, be bold, and be courageous to be able to say, I'm a friend of God. And if you're a friend of God, then you're submitted to God. And if you're submitted to God, there ain't nothing that can stop you. You basically get yourself out of the way, and you allow God to be God again in your life. Amen? So humble yourselves before the Lord. We got to refuse to compromise. Because anything you compromise in order to get to the top will eventually control you at the top and you will lose it. Whatever you compromise to do, if you compromise to another person and they gave you money behind the scenes and every which way, now you're in that, they can control you anytime. Because remember I gave you some money a few years ago? I gave you all that and you did all this. Well, this is what I need you to do. I need a favor from you. Whatever you get to the top will eventually control you at the top, and God needs a generation of people. Well, Pastor Tim, I may have done it. If you've done it, here's the thing. A righteous man will fall 7 times and gets back up again. All you have to do is repent. That ain't that hard. It's to turn it. But I guarantee you this, every time you get to that place to where you're trying to make that move towards God again, you're going to get some pullback from the enemy. They're going to do everything they can in order to try and stop you. But here's the thing, it's a fight, but it's also a good fight. It's a good fight because you're going in the right direction now. The enemy ain't going to mess with you when you're doing everything for him. It's only when you're choosing to live for Christ. It's only when you choose to lay down your life for Jesus. It's only when you choose to submit yourself to God and resist him. Resist means to actively fight against. And the fight that we fight is the good fight of faith. I ain't backing down. I will never back down. The wicked run when no one pursues them, but the righteous, they are as bold as a lion. And you are righteous because he's made you righteous. But it's hard. The money is good. The fame is great. I got a lot of people liking me. But at what cost? What's that scripture say? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? What good is all that when you're going to fighting demons at night, you can't sleep, waking up in the middle of the night? What good is that? How about this? Take a trip over the weekend and don't lock your house up. See what happens. Leave the door wide open. Just right open. Screen right open. See if any critters come up in there. Might have some deer, might have some raccoons and stuff. Might have some people up in there partying, tearing up the house. You would never do that if your family was there. You wouldn't do that even if they weren't. But we don't realize that we're doing that when we choose to make ourselves a friend of this world. We give the enemy an inroad into our lives. Doesn't mean that God ain't going to love you. Doesn't mean that God stopped loving you, stopped caring about you. It just means you're giving an enemy an inroad into your life in order to kill, steal, kill, and to what? Destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Have it to the full. That's Zoe life. That's a different kind of life. That's a beautiful life. Doesn't mean you're going to be a life without problems, but you don't have to do life without them. You don't have to have those problems without them. Those problems don't have to have you. Be bold. Be courageous. Submit yourself to God. Stay submitted to God and refuse to compromise. Refuse to compromise. Today's a new day. Refuse to compromise. They threw his family into that den, and the Bible says the lions broke their bones into pieces before it even hit the ground. Before their bodies, I mean, my goodness. But yet, an angel of the Lord shut the mouths up. Because he found them to be truthful. So even if you do sit at a table, God can shut the mouth of those lions that are around those tables that are licking their chops. They want to get at you. They want to sell you a timeshare. And you could just sit there in peace because it doesn't bother you. And you can just smile. And they're going to try to do everything they can in order to find fault. I can't tell you how many times somebody has tried to find fault in me. I don't give a rip. I got a lot of faults. But I'm allowing God to work that out. Scripture does tell us to make allowances for each other's faults. But when they see my fault because I'm in this position, it gets blown up bigger than what it needs to be. They tell everybody. They tell a whole lot of other people. And then I get other people trying to say stuff. God bless you. I still love you. When you want to find my fault, there might be another one today. I'll let you know. But see, when God says, I find no fault in him. Where are your condemners at? They're gone, Lord. Well, neither do I. I don't condemn you. Religious leaders will always try to find fault in you. Always. There's never anything that you can do. They don't want love, honor, and respect. They want adoration. They want to be feared, and they want to be worshiped. I ain't doing that for anyone. I love you, but we're just going to have to move on. The wicked run, but no one pursues them. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Let's stand. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all these men in here. Lord, we thank you that these men are courageous. They are truthful. They are honest. Lord, we thank you. They're not perfect, but you are. We serve a perfect God. And Father God, and everyone in here, we know, we all know we all have faults. And we just thank you for the grace to be able to love them even with their faults. To love everyone else. Every one of us to love each other. And Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And also, especially in mine. You're a good God. You're a great God. And we just say happy Father's Day, Lord. We just surrender our wills to you. We thank you for marriages, relationships, just getting stronger day by day. And give the wife the strength to be able to say, hey, husband, hubby, honey, babe, it's time to man up. It's time for us to submit to God. We're tired of running. This isn't about me anymore. This isn't about you anymore. This is about him. We're tired of running. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. I thank you for them. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.